drop me where people were doing business and making money and spending money. But all the money will wait for a whole month, as youth couples for. You will get to people who use the after work, they stop at Mr. Biggs. You know? And they just say, okay, let me have that. Okay, you do want that, take that. And then when they give them bill, you go pay. You go, they look like, what? You just chopped a whole corpus alawi like this. You know, you are wondering. I remember one day I went to visit my auntie. She wanted to buy me something. Very interesting story. Assuming that, let me give an example now. I just want to use something as an example. Okay, let's assume it's a shirt. Very good. So, oh, let me buy you a shirt. You like this shirt. Very nice. Van Houston. You know, just something like that. It wasn't a shirt, it was something else. And I said, okay, would you like blue? Maybe we got to the shop, they're looking at this is blue. Ah, do I need blue or do I need white? Say blue. Ah, so we're thinking, blue, white, which one should I take? Oh, look at that, please, you are wasting my time. Take the two of them, decide at home. You know the kind of thing? Like, look, I have to go. Okay, pack both of them. Okay, how much is it? Paid. Let's go. When you get home, you decide. It's not you are going to return it, oh. You know, I still remember that day. I was like, ah, what's wrong with this? How did they do like this? That is that 1 minute. Oh. That 1 minute, 2 minutes of trying to decide whether it's blue or white. See, this is a waste of time. Carry the two of them and stop wasting my time. I told you that, look, then I sit down, see, at the end of the day, you know what God was teaching me? This was what I learned. God said, you see, the race is not to the swift. Because I saw these guys did not do more labor, you understand, than those of us who waited one whole month for Alawi to land. They did not. In fact, some of them did less. They just crossed their leg and make phone calls. So I remember when I finished with that experience, I said to the Lord, if you will not, I meant it. I said, Lord, if you will not bless me in life, may I be poor. I said, the only thing I ask is that don't give me a wife. Let me suffer alone. That was the prayer I prayed, though. I said, Lord, poverty, forget it. I can handle it. Just don't give me any poor young woman to come and join me in the suffering. John the Baptist was not married. So let's just leave it like that. Oh, yeah, eating locusts and white honey. And you are alone, it is good. No, really. That was it. I didn't go and say, in this life, Father, you will prosper me. You will prosper me. Look at people. No. I left the place with one conclusion. The race is not to the swift. The people that God blessed, the people that have abundance with peace of mind in life, is God that gave it to them. So I said, Lord, if you will give me, I will take. If you won't give me, forget it. But I will never labor for it. It made it very easy for me to make my decisions in life. Then I was in Lagos. I had to leave Lagos and come to Enugu. It was not people say money's in Lagos. It didn't bother me. I had understood some things out of experience. Do you get the point I'm making? What that word did for me was to show me that, listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. I saw some of those people very, very rich. They had plenty of resources. They couldn't boast of 1/10 of my peace of mind. Yeah, they couldn't. So we give them coke. They are afraid to drink it. Whether you don't do free lojinemu on top of the coke. That's incantation. They don't. That is. I just say, listen, this life, God just has to bless you. So the promise of God, that's what I'm trying to explain. Faith was not there to tell me how to get money. Faith, first thing faith did for me was to say, oh boy, money or no money, you are still complete in him. That was the first thing. I remember a friend of mine then, he was working for a pharmaceutical company, and so he had a very sharp car, a racer, a Deu. I don't know what that was, racer. It was a Deu. When one will meet, the guy will be looking sharp, you know. How many young men, I'm talking about 1990, immediately after NYC, that's 93, end of 93, 94. Anytime I see him, I was so excited to see him. Ah, he will see me, ah, Banky, I beg, drive, because he used to drive around. So we'll drive to, we'll move around, I'll be driving his car. And God, I didn't feel anything. That did when classmates in university, I didn't feel anything. That was why I was able to receive the scripture. It said, behold, don't worry about it, relax. In your time, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, I was happy then. I was very happy. I'm not happier now than I was then. That's what I'm going to explain. Joy and gladness has to come from the spiritual realm first. Material things can't give it to you. If they give it to you, they will take it from you. I'm telling you. Some people think that when they have married, they will not be happy. If you are sad now, your wife or your husband cannot cure it. If he cures it, it's temporal. Do you understand? After the wedding, they don't finish. When everything don't cool down, your sadness will return. So you have to first receive your joy in the Lord. That's what I'm going to emphasize. What am I saying all of these things? Listen. What's the purpose of everything? The word of God is not coming to solve our problems. That's not why we are gathered. What are the steps to this? No. The first thing we need, what are the steps to having Christ formed in me? That's what I'm explaining. The reason why we are learning, we're reading from that second Peter. Peter was explaining, listen, because of the promises of God. That's why I went into that story I was telling. I understood because of his promises that many things that people are worried about, I don't have to worry about them. I've told this story, well, not really a story, just this phenomenon many times. People want to go abroad now. It's not strong now. It should have been there when I just left university. It should have been there. I'm a medical doctor. When you converted our salary in a whole month as a resident, when I said residency in 95 in Luth, a whole month to convert our salary was something between $50 and $70. Convert salary. Do you understand what I'm saying? A whole month. So, look, one of my chiefs, he's a specialist in Owerri. That's where he practices now. He said, oh boy, half of my monthly salary I used to buy a postage stamp. He said, why a postage stamp? There was no email to write applications all over the world. People are always telling you, if you go to TNT, they are taking doctors, so they don't write application. He said, half of his salary, postage stamp, sending applications all over the world. He didn't go anywhere. Nobody carried him to go anywhere. The only time he traveled abroad, it was to Uganda. I'm not saying Uganda is a bad country. I'm just saying that it was technical aid corps. You know, Nigeria. That is, Nigerian government employed him here and posted him to Uganda to go and help the Ugandans. He was telling me one day, he said, oh boy, half of my salary now, postage stamp, I've been taken and buy. People were doing up and down that time. Did I do that? Trust me, I did not. Did I love poverty? No, I didn't love poverty. But because I had exceedingly great and precious promises, are you getting my point? I said, the word is I cause prosperity to flow towards you, that it is forbidden that I should go looking for it. I said, in due season, it will come towards me. Listen, my whole salary in a month that time, exchange for like $60 to $70. Even if it's 200 naira, calculate it today. Sometimes when you're talking to young people, they say, money was worth more that time. Not in dollars. Not significantly. Yet in the whole month, I worked for federal government job. I worked for like $60. And God is my witness, I was not sad. Just one tip like this, one. And then one day, 18th of May, 1997, on a Sunday morning, I went to Covenant Christian Center, one small Longo church in one corner. And one young man that looked just a little older than me was preaching. And initially, I was laughing. Then the man talked on the inheritance inside the new man. We have that message, yes. I kept it here. If you want to listen to it, go and discuss with Felix and Israel. The man finished preaching, oh, Father in heaven. He said, there are the sufferings of Christ and then the glories to follow. That any Christian going through sufferings, it is because there is a glory to follow. He said, there are four stages in life that God takes you through. I think he was quoting somebody. First, God takes you. He blesses you. Then he breaks you. Then he gives you. He said, this is the sequence of life. There must be light first, then affliction, then glory. That when the light of God shines into you, it takes into a season of affliction. And then glory comes after. I say, Jesus. That day, I was beside myself. I said, this is life. Oh, no wonder David said, I rejoice at thy word. As those who find great treasure or great spoil. That day, my God, I heard the word of God. I said, Jesus, I didn't know my life was so beautiful. That's when I used to look at women who are doing their nose when man, they chase you. I said, if you only you had holy eyes and you could see. You know when your eyes are unholy, what you'll be seeing is you go see my dark complexion. I was much leaner than this that time. You understand? You see my leanness. You see the fact that I came to your house on a bike or I stopped a downfall. And when I was coming down, something tore my shirt. But if you had holy eyes, pure eyes, you will have seen beyond those things. You will have seen a man who has light. And once God gives you light, the Bible says he must put you on a bushel. You will have noticed a man climbing his bushel. I go soon begin shine. And that's how I used to feel. Ask my wife. I used to raise my shoulder like that. Then I'm not kidding. I shouldn't do like that now. Don't do that too. But it was not my fault. I felt if I showed interest in you as a woman, you should be happy. I was looking very poor, but I had read this. No, my own was not African pride, though. It was spiritual pride. Yes. Because what was my confidence? Scripture. I'm serious. It was Bible, nothing but Bible. That was when they, look, I've told you this story many times. I'm even tired of telling it, but I'll keep on telling it because it's helping young people. That was why those people go to embassy, they suffer to kill. I said, lie. I'm the child of a king. You can't treat the child of a king like this. It's not good. They kill from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Because of what? I said, lie. What is my reason? That's what I'm making. The reason was simple. The word of God that we studied. Nothing else. I didn't suddenly hear that, hey, your long-lost uncle has been found and is worth $100 million. And now that you are his favorite nephew and he's sick, he will soon die. I didn't hear anything like that. Please get the point I'm trying to make here. I think Christians must be taught to focus on what is important. The first thing the word of God is doing for you is building the image of Christ into you. That's what I'm trying to explain all of these things. So, that faith, first of all, is not how to get material things. Faith, first of all, is to show that your life does not depend on it. Before you start exercising your faith on how to get things, you first need to exercise your faith to show you don't need the things. That you can live without them. That God indeed has blessed you so that whether you have those things or don't, you are still blessed. That's the only way they will be a blessing to you. That's the point I'm trying to make. So the promises were given to us because the challenges of life, some people, it fills them with bitterness. It fills them with violence. I heard the story again. I don't know where I was listening to it. They said that this very famous American gangster, Al Capone, when they asked him, how did you go into crime? He said it was necessity. It was necessity. That I was very poor. Hunger. I realized that a man had to do something. And what did he do? Organized crime. But we have the promises of God. Look, that's a matter of fact. The events of life can fill the midst of people's souls with bitterness, with violence, with iniquity. But for us, it won't do that. It will not do that. Why? Because we have found out from the scriptures that as children of God, even though we go through adversity, we will not die in adversity. We understand that though we walk the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for the Lord is with us. So those promises make it so that when we see adversity, it doesn't scare us. And that's what it means to be a partaker of divine nature. I hope you're getting my point. That's what it means. That is the basic meaning. We may have applications of that, but the basic meaning is that the same spirit that is in Christ resides inside me. Listen to me. That should be the first thing you are checking in your life. If you are making progress, progress is not how much, what's my turnover? What's the size of my church? How big is my business? No. Progress is I used to get very angry at things like this. Now I don't even notice them anymore. That's it. You know, some pastors, if they see their members in another church, war. War. I heard the story that time. Now, blue, they begin fight over the matter. Physical fight. But you know, when they came to John, they said, hey, that guy, your cousin, the one you baptized there, we were there that day now. You were the ones saying, now, you know, that I've told you, even if you know these things, don't say them outside. You're the one saying that upon him, who the Holy Spirit will come. Look at him, he must be, you're saying that he baptized him with fire, that you're only baptizing with water. See what has happened now. He has used the baptism of fire to gather a bigger congregation down the street. He didn't even say, okay, let me respect you and go somewhere else. He just shifted another part of Jordan. You know, that's what they came to tell John. They were angry. Expecting John to say, okay, from this pulpit, anybody going for Jesus' crusades? I will remove the cover over your head. All that John said is, relax. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Any member that goes to his church is his own church member that God gave him. Simple. That was all that John said. You want to know whether you have made advancement? It's when your reaction is like that. When you are not holding, for everything, how much? 15,000 naira. Person could just lose 15,000 like that. 15,000 are my mind. No. That was the attitude 2 years ago. But as Christ is being formed in you, they say, how much? 15,000. I said, leave him. Leave him. Listen, the word of God makes us understand that money is a temporal material thing, that the spiritual substance cannot be stolen. Leave the fellow. We have not lost anything. When God wants to give us back, he will give us back 10 times if necessary. Leave that thing, I beg. Look, it's not worth the headache. The way madam they do self, I don't like it. She doesn't take this thing serious. They don't understand. It's not out of laziness. It's out of understanding. Another shop opens down the road, and they will take my customers. Any customer they take was not your own. Was not your own. Listen. These spiritual attributes, we are going to talk about it. This is how Christians succeed. Many of the problems in life, Satan used to distract them from real success. They are there. They are busy fighting the next shop down the road so that they don't see the new opportunity. Listen, let me tell you the matter of fact. When, you know, the Englishman will say that if a door closes, another one is open. That thing is not a lie for Christians. It's true. Anytime you are in the midst, in fact, you know, listen to my message. Open my eyes, O Lord. I told the story of Hagar. When Hagar cried to God, God showed her a well that was there. Many times you're having adversity, difficulties. Maybe you're a business person. You think this is going to ruin my business. God is saying, listen, if you open your eyes, I will show you a well that will dug. That's right there. That will give you a new line of business that will make you 10 times more successful than you. And that is in your new level now. Than your former self and the person you're angry with combined. Are you getting the point I'm making? And I say this all the time. All the Christians that worship enemies. You know, most of the time it's fear. Do you know that? If you really understood the position of those so-called enemies in your life, you won't even pray about them. That is, they are not worthy of your prayers. Like I keep on saying, the Bible says he prepares a table before me. How? In the presence of my enemies. It is crucial all of them don't die. All these churches that want to kill all of them is the reason why God will never prepare a table before you. You say, what do I mean? Because God says the word must be fulfilled. It has to be how? In the presence of your enemies. So he tells the angels, go and gather his enemies around the table so we can prepare the table. So the angels say, okay, you don't kill everybody. Every single one is dead. So, the Lord said, no, we can't violate the word of God. We can't violate the word we have spoken. So, leave him. Let him develop some more enemies. The angel says, sir, the way this boy is going, now he kills them in infancy. because they somersaulting and scattering and dying. Some of them even fall on the younger ones and left all the others of that. Oh, the Lord is good. So the Lord said, why can we bless him? Ah, we can't bless him. So the man is in one spot because he has no enemies. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. No, it's very important. Even God told the children of Israel, he said, all the enemies in the land, I won't remove all of them. They have to be there to teach your younger boys how to fight. If I remove all of them, your children will grow up, they will be wimps, they won't know how to tackle challenges. So let's leave some enemies for your boys to use to practice. Listen, there's an attitude that the life, the nature of God in you gives you towards life. I see it all the time when Christians talk about Islam, that those things are up now in Nigeria, Muslim and all of that. Islam is trying to take over things and this, you know. And when you see them talking, they are afraid. That's one thing I refuse to be afraid. I've understood. They forget Islam doesn't have the kind of power people think it has. They say Turkey was a Christian nation. Now it is the center of Islam. I say, how did it become? It's not because of political, inefficiencies among the Christians. It was because Jesus warned them in Revelations. He said, if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lamp from its place. When he removed the lamp, Islam took over. Is there, they say, all those churches reading the Bible, they were in Turkey. Yes, go and read it. It's also in Revelations. Jesus warned them. The way you guys are going, I am going to remove your lamp. I will extinguish your light. He told them. He did not tell them. We see the result of God's judgment. We'll be blaming on the man he used to judge. One of the things I'm going to teach as I go on is that, look, I don't want this one. I'm tired of Christians treating God as if he doesn't like to flog children. There's an article I'm going to write very soon for my brethren. It said, the heart of God, he's very kind. Anytime his children come back home, I just say, look. And I don't know the God you people are talking about. I say, this is a father heart. I say, no, that's a mother heart. Father heart does not behave like that. Father heart. The father that I know. Say, he that the father loves. They say, he chastises with the word. It's not true. It is not true. He said, I will discipline with the rod of men. That is, when you guys disobey me too much. Anyway, we'll talk about that one later. We'll talk about it later. Listen to me. What I pray for Nigeria and for the Church of Christ, this is a matter of fact, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The only problem Nigeria has today is that the church itself is too corrupt, and we have to pray that one out. We have looked at corruption in the country. He said, the good Lord Jonathan cannot do anything against corruption. How can he? When the bishops can't do anything against corruption, the pastors have not tackled corruption, the president does not have that power. Who will give it to him? He doesn't have the power that you and I don't give to him. I don't mean just in prayer, in our own lives. If we say amongst, within ourselves, if we say in our businesses, in our churches, if I'm starting from churches, that's where it starts, that corruption will not be tolerated. If we say that, before the year is over, it will spill over to Abuja. It will. As long as we tolerate corruption, God cannot judge that one that's there. No, I'm telling you the truth. When you want to pray, we're going to pray. You pray for the body of Christ. All this nonsense must stop. Anybody that lies again, public in the name of God, especially to collect money, God, please swell his jaw. That's all. Don't kill him. Just move. So every man will fear. Every man will be afraid. After that, I'm telling you. I know, let's just go to church and say, praise the Lord. Please, if you stole government money, want you to know your offering is not accepted today. Just say simply. Praise God. If you're a thief, please don't give offerings. We have cursed the offering basket for your sake. We just want you to know your offering. Just say casually. You're not fighting anybody. You're just talking casually. As you've come to church today, you have come in righteousness. Amen. Please, our offering basket is moving around. It's not for stolen money. Amen. Any stolen money in it, we kill you before midnight. So just don't put it inside. I'm telling you, look. Every man will understand that these Christians. No, I'm serious. Even your own people will stop stealing. They will stop stealing. The problem is that, no, you know why we don't want to say that, pastors? Because we check every offering at the end of the day, whether I deliquate or not deliquate. So, when you just check, say, okay, Muti. What do you preach? We're offering small like this. That is what the problem is. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you. This is what the problem is. This is what the problem is. So when you are praying for the body of Christ, forget, you know, let me tell you the truth. Boko Haram can't do anything to you. Say amen. They cannot overrun this nation. Say amen. They cannot overrun this nation. Say amen. Let me say it again. They will not overrun the church of Christ. Say amen. But they have a reason to get us to read the book of Revelations again. And find out why God removed the lamp that was in Turkey that we are making noise about today. What were the whoredoms that they committed with Mystery Babylon? What was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that they were practicing? How did they depart from their first love? These are the things he warned them about. Instead of trying to get, let's vote for our own candidate. You can vote for your candidate, he will put you in OIC. You've forgotten that Judas was a member of Jesus' ministry. You don't know that? Judas was in ministry. And you don't know if he was president, he would put you in OIC. For $12 billion. Yes, he can betray you. So, listen, you cannot use political machinations to solve a spiritual problem. You can't. You cannot use political maneuverings to solve a problem you caused spiritually. You cannot. We're going to pray for our country, but the prayer starts with the church. Are you getting my point? 2015, you will speak truth and nothing but the truth in the name of Jesus. Amen. God, sack every liar. We're not saying kill him, just sack. Whether he's a general overseer or a mighty bishop, whatever he is, sack him if he's lying. If he's bringing corruption to the church, God, please, sack him. Whatever be the title, because listen, my people, until we get that one solved, God can't touch PDP, he can't touch APC. And when the iniquity is now too much, the corruption is now too much, he has no choice but to judge the whole land. But it will not happen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I said it will not happen.
Amen.
I said it will not happen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let me just summarize. I feel like I finished. Let me not stay beyond this. I just went into that. But let me go back to what I was saying. I was trying to emphasize to us, listen, there's a confidence that the promises of God gives to us. What I was bringing out is that helps us to obey his word, and that helps us to ensure that we are not filled with iniquity, that we are not filled with corruption. Because we have the promises of God, he said we become partakers of the divine nature. The most important thing that God is doing in our lives, I was trying to say, is to birth the stature of Christ in us. God is building us up so that we'll become exactly like his son, Jesus Christ. What his word is coming into our lives to do is to ensure that we become exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is not first of all trying to give us things. Faith is telling us, listen, if you are indeed walking with God, if you are indeed the child of God that he caused you to be, these material things cannot affect the state of your life. He said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Now, when I have come to understand that, then I'm able to pray to God. You know, there's something I want to bring out here, all right? In fact, there's a scripture I should read, please. I'll close with it. Quickly, the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. Because of time, I'll quickly read it without waiting for you. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher. And the slave, he said, it is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. Now please note that those are the two scriptures I want to read, that the aim of being a disciple is to become like Jesus Christ. I read something somewhere, or I was listening to a man preach. He said that the greatest reward for a man's labor is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. Let me say it again. The greatest reward for our labors in life is not what we get for it, for the labors, but what we become by those labors. That is, if I walk in the house of Laban, and my name is Jacob, it is not the inheritance materially that I get that's most important. It is whether the deceitfulness inside me was cured during my 20 years in the house of Laban. If I get everything and I'm still the Jacob that went into the house of Laban, I have not profited at all. Are you getting my point? Listen, a Christian that was deceptive, made a lot of money one way or the other, and is still deceptive, has not profited at all. Let me say something to you, not to scare you, but just a matter of fact. Do you know that indeed one day you are going to die? Are you aware of that fact? If Jesus does not return before you die, one day you will die. That is, physically, you will expire. The prayer we are praying is that by that time, you will have fulfilled the plan of God for your life. You will have fulfilled the purpose of God for which He gave you life. That's the prayer we are praying. That is even more important, a prayer, than the length of days that you stay. Even though we believe in length of days, we believe very strongly that when the people of God are walking according to the principles of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is established in their lives, to live to be age 100 will be normal. Do you know that? I believe that totally. People say God promised us 70 years. It's not in the Bible. They say a promise of 80 years is not in the Bible. What Moses said was that we have been so pummeled by his judgment that now our men are dying at the age of 70. It was not a promise, it was a lamentation. All God says concerning life is that with long life I will do what?
Satisfying.
I will do what?
Satisfying.
It's about satisfaction. It's about what?
Satisfaction.
And when we are walking the kingdom, you know, what God said is that at the age of 100, a man should still be very agile. That if he dies before 100, we should know that something is wrong. So we believe all of these things, all right? But no matter how long you live, this is a matter of fact. Is it just, assuming you did well, you did 120. It's not bad. 120 is not bad, is it? It's not bad. You will have seen your great, great, great grandchildren. Or maybe, I don't know. But you don't do something like that, Abby. It's not bad at all. But that 120 years is still a tiny speck when it is compared to what eternity is like. That's what I'm trying to explain. The fact is that one day, this Jesus Christ we are talking about, you will actually appear before his judgment throne. Yes. You know the fact? Tell your neighbor at home, not here, that Jesus actually sends people to hellfire when they don't believe. And it's not a joke. And that for Christians, they actually also have to appear before his judgment throne. They will have to give account of what they did in this life. Listen to me. He will not ask you how many houses you built. He will never ask, did you drive the latest model cars? Who was sewing your clothes? He will never ask. When you showed up for that meeting, did everybody wow at your dress? He will never ask. He will not even ask, how many children did you have? He won't not ask. He won't. He won't ask, how many countries of the world did you visit? All those fine places that I created. You mean you didn't see all of them? You didn't go to Tahiti? Oh, shame on you. As a matter of fact, he will not ask. He will not ask you all the good things I put on earth. Did you enjoy them? Listen, only two things are important. In fact, actually it's one, but they are clues. The first one is when you appear, how much like me do you now look like? That's number one. Number two, the things we told you to do, did you do them? Period. He said, blessed is the servant who will be found so doing when the master shall return. That is, there is something that he's supposed to be doing. That's all. Let me tell you the truth. I wish we could look into the realm of the spirit. You will see that the people you call rich on this earth, not in eternity. I don't mean that when we die, I will not stand before the judgment throne. God say, next. What's your name? Where were you based? What was your ministry? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about right now, as we are seated here, if we could come out and get the eyes of angels and look down at earth. When you see poverty, you'll be amazed at where you will find it. Many of the people in Aso Rock that are in power, God looks at them and says, look at them. He hasn't eaten in 6 weeks. His clothes are tattered. And then You'll be shocked that, look at, they're envying him. Why? Because physically, when you come out, he comes down in a brand new Prado. Woo, 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 woo. Everybody's feeling very happy. I like the way he said it. He said, you said that you are rich and you have need of nothing. He said, but you do not realize that you are blind. How does it go again? Wretched. Naked. Give me the words. Powerful words. Poor. In fact, let's read it. Let's just read it properly, then we'll close. Please, I want Christians. That's why I'm talking about all of these things. This year, please. What is important? Make sure you know what is important with God, though. Are you getting my point? The church in Laodicea. Make sure you know what is important in the eyes of the Lord and go for that. For God, it is, you lose money means nothing. Money is totally empty in the realm of the spirit. You lose it doesn't mean anything. But you do not have integrity means everything. That's why Peter said, talking about his divine nature, he said, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence. Supply self-control. Make sure you learn perseverance. Not every little thing you are whining and complaining. You must be kind. Make sure that brotherly love is with you. He described all of those things. Let's look at that church in Laodicea quickly. I read that and then please I close with it. He said in verse 17, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Listen to me. If you look in the realm of the spirit and look at many people envy today, that is the description God has for them. Sometimes we'll talk about money on this earth. We just use them to illustrate some sound spiritual principles. But as far as God is concerned, you know Bill Gates. You know of Bill Gates. I know he's not your personal friend. Warren Buffett. Carlos Slim. These are the top richest men in the world. Aliko Dangote, you come to Nigeria. What's the name of that Lagos woman? Something Alakija, what's her first name? You see all of those people, you look at them. And God looks, now I'm going to talk about myself. He looks at Banky beside them. And he says, I can't see who's richer, who's poorer. Two of them, as far as I'm concerned, I'm using as an example. They are the same thing. He said, but this guy has more. He said, hey, wait. He has more money. Money is his anointing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. It's the empowerment I have given him to do function on the earth. That money cannot teach anybody anything. But let Banky open his mouth and talk. The ignorant will learn. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, people's money, you must understand, is their tool of ministry. You don't need to envy somebody who doesn't have the same assignment as you. Are you getting my point? Why am I saying all of these things? Please, let's know what is important. Let's know where to exercise our faith. The first exercise of faith I'm emphasizing is in Christ-likeness. It's not in acquiring anything. Let me say it again. One day, you will indeed stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will have to give an account for how you lived your life. I'm not trying to scare you, because it will not happen to you. You know, a lot of people just be dropping dead anyhow recent times. I was hearing the story. The way human beings behave sometimes, you wonder whether they don't hear all of these things. You won't die like that, amen? Say amen now.
Amen.
You want to die like that? Say amen now.
Amen.
You will not die like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will live and you will fulfill the purpose of God for your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I just use that to explain to us, let us learn to think like Christians. Christians think like they literally are out of this world. We literally are out of this world. We live in the realm of eternity. That is where our mindset is. Don't lay up treasure on the earth. Everything in life must be useful. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's serving a purpose. It's use. That's why if you dash me a private jet now, I will not take it from you. Unless you say I can sell it. I will collect it, sell it, use the money to do something. You know, use. But if you give me a jet, put it there, where am I flying to? But if I see a man that has it, it means he's using it. But you, Christian, don't desire it if you don't have use for it. Are you getting my point? What have I said today? Please. The first thing that God is doing in our life is what? Building up the image of Christ in us. That's why we are sitting down to learn. That is why we go through experiences in which we use the promises of God to ensure that those experiences don't bring out violence out of us, but they bring out the nature of Christ in us. I have to close now because my time is up. I hope you were blessed today. Let's just bow down and just say, Father, thank you for the new year. Once again, let's just quickly give God thanks.